Who are you?
Whoever you want me to be.
Don't say I never gave you anything.
It's feeling epic.
Three words. Eight letters.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to Previously on Teen TV. I'm Jillian Benani.
I'm Claire Wojciechowski.
And Claire, March Madness is over, at least for us it is.
Yes.
I don't know what's going on with the sports.
I think they're still playing basketball somewhere.
Well, we don't know and we don't care.
No.
But thank you to all of our listeners and fans who participated in the online voting for our Teen TV Boyfriends Bracket. It was so fun to interact with you guys and hear your opinions, see who you were voting for.
Some strong opinions.
Some strong opinions, definitely. People really, you know, came out and were loud.
Yeah.
So in today's episode, we are going to break down the results of the listener voted online bracket. And we're going to talk about where we agreed and disagreed with them because we made our own bracket as well. And there were some differences, I would say.
Yeah, some key differences.
Which I'm excited to talk about.
Yeah, we'll get into it.
And then also later in the episode, we are going to give a tribute to our bracket champion. Woo-hoo! We're really going to crown the champion and give him all the praise he deserves. So
yes.
I'm excited about that.
I can't wait to talk about that. Talk about him. And our love for him.
It's going to be great.
Yeah.
And also, thanks to producer Tyler for stepping in for producer Jesse today while she's overseas. I do think that this is quite fitting that my boyfriend is producing the Boyfriends Bracket episode.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. So just so everyone knows, when we are talking about me and Claire's bracket, we're going to call it the host bracket.
Yes. The one that we talked about over two episodes previously. That is the host bracket.
And if you haven't listened to those episodes, please go back and listen to them now. You will want to know our reasons for why we picked who we picked.
I know. We get into it about each guy and why we chose them to move on or why we kicked them to the curb.
And there were some we kicked to the curb quite quickly.
Yes, yes, we did.
And then we're going to refer to the voted bracket as the listener bracket. So once again, our bracket is the host bracket. The online voted bracket is the listener bracket. Mm-hmm. So everybody can follow along. Should we get into the results, Claire?
Yeah, let's get started. So throughout the episode, I will be listing off all of the matchups where we agreed on who should advance.
And then I'll be doing the ones where we disagreed, where we fought, fist fought.
Yeah.
So excited about that.
Yeah.
Excited.
Maybe we'll fist fight here today.
Uh-oh.
So in round one, we had Nathan Scott of One Tree Hill beating Nate Jacobs over Euphoria. I'm going to rephrase that. Nathan Scott from One Tree Hill winning over Nate Jacobs of Euphoria just because of the content of that show. Ryan Atwood from The OC winning out over Scott McCall from Teen Wolf. Pacey Witter from Dawson's Creek over Archie Andrews from Riverdale. Stefan Salvatore from The Vampire Diaries over Spencer James of All American. Jess Mariano from Gilmore Girls over Dawson Leary from Dawson's Creek. Conrad Fisher of The Summer I Turned Pretty over Tim Riggins from Friday Night Lights. John B. from Outer Banks over Dylan McKay from Beverly Hills 90210. Seth Cohen of The OC over Dean Forrester from Gilmore Girls. Logan Huntsberger of Gilmore Girls over Cole Walter of My Life with the Walter Boys. And Stiles Stilinski of Teen Wolf over Alex Walter of My Life with the Walter Boys.
Sorry to the Walter Boys.
I know the Walter Boys really had a tough round, man.
You know, they're not mainstream enough yet, I guess.
They haven't hit the zeitgeist yet.
No. And we agreed on a lot, actually. Like 11 out of 16 that we had the same as them is a lot.
I thought so, too. Yeah, that's a good percentage. I do think it's notable that poor Dawson Leary received the least amount of votes of all 32 men with 33 votes total. So
I mean, that's like hilarious.
I know. It's just like he's just such a non-contender.
I know. Like no one likes him.
Like, and it's like no disrespect to James Vanderbeek, and he's like important within the show, but like, yeah, character-wise, he's just not someone that you want to date.
No one's lusting after Dawson.
No, no one is.
Which is just kind of funny. Like, it is like a little sad. Like, there's definitely like worse men than Dawson on this list, but not annoying men.
No.
You know? Like, it's like we can overlook these mistakes, but we cannot overlook Dawson's annoyingness.
Yeah. Like, I think it's just interesting that, you know, Nate Jacobs still got 56 votes.
That's true.
So, like, technically he beat Dawson in this contest, right, and that, like, says a lot.
If it was Nate Jacobs versus Dawson Leary, Nate Jacobs would have won for sure.
Absolutely.
Which is hilarious
and disturbing,
that just,
but
that just shows like how much people hate Dawson.
I know, I feel like. Just as a character. Yeah, but yeah, I know.
Yeah, I think no matter who Dawson would have gone up against, like, he still would have lost.
I agree.
There's not a world where Dawson makes it into round two.
No. Sorry, Dawson.
Sorry, James Vanderbeek, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, so now let's get into the first round matchups where we didn't see eye to eye with the listeners. The listeners picked Dan Humphrey over Logan Echols. They picked Chuck Bass over Jordan Baker. They picked Paxton Hall-Yoshida over Caleb Rivers. They picked Lucas Scott over Jeremiah Fisher. And they picked Nate Archibald over J.J. Maybank. I gotta say, the one that I'm most shocked about in that,
yeah,
is I really thought that J.J. was gonna make it further in this competition, especially with the listeners. Like, I thought that that guy was gonna make it, like, maybe final four in the listener bracket. Like, he is just so popular, like, online and, like, on that show. And the show is so popular. Like, Outer Banks is huge.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, I don't want to, maybe I'm misusing the term, but I feel like he's like baby girl.
Yes, like, no, he is.
And so I kind of thought, I was like, am I too old to say that?
No, I love it.
Our young listeners, please let me know if I got it wrong. But yeah, that one sort of shocked me. I think you and I, when we made this, when we were choosing our winners, we were really asking the question, like, who's a better boyfriend on the show?
Yeah.
And I think our picks really reflect that.
Yeah.
And the listener picks where we differed were more like characters that they liked or shows that they liked.
Yeah.
And so I think they just went with, oh, I've watched this show. I've watched Gossip Girl a million times, but maybe I haven't seen Veronica Mars. So I'm picking the guy from Gossip Girl, even if Chuck Bass isn't the best boyfriend.
Yeah. I mean, I was sad about Logan Echols going out in round one on the listener bracket, but I get it. I feel like not everyone's seen it, but guys, watch Veronica Mars, okay? Because you will find a new boyfriend in Logan Echols. And I need you all to see how great he is. But yeah, I do feel like, you know, Dan and Chuck and Nate from Gossip Girl, all our gossip guys, I do get why people more voted for them, because Gossip Girl is such a popular show.
Yeah. I mean, even I was telling my coworkers about the bracket and I was encouraging them to vote, and they said, well, I'm picking this show because I've watched it and I haven't watched the other show. So
yeah,
I do the same thing when I'm voting in these types of things too. So I get it.
Yeah. Know. We were really giving it, you know, scientific reasons, basically. We were giving everybody the data. We were really getting into it.
We had facts. We had evidence. What is it? Scenes, yeah. Proof, timeline, screenshots. We had it all.
We really did have all that.
And you guys were just like, hot. But I know. I respect it.
I do respect that too. I will say, sometimes I'm like, maybe we should have just voted hot some of these.
Yeah, well, in the next bracket, we'll take it differently.
I have a little bit of a regret.
Okay.
That we did, and I feel like you're going to disagree with me on this, but I do kind of, I regret that we, you know, threw Lucas out right away over Jeremiah. In the sense, I don't like Jeremiah. Like, I don't really think he has that many, like, redeeming qualities. And I just feel like Lucas Scott does have some redeeming qualities. Like, he's made some mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And I do like his character. So I had a little bit of regrets about that.
I don't really disagree with that. Like, yeah. I think we picked Jeremiah because we were like, Lucas sucks as a boyfriend, but like, I don't love Jeremiah either. Like, I'm Team Conrad. So, like, honestly, like, I could have been swayed either way on that one, I think.
You know, it's kind of like, oh, Lucas isn't a bad guy. Maybe I went after him a little too hard.
He figures it out in the end.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah. Like, you know.
So if you had one do-over in round one, it would be Jeremiah?
If I could have one do-over in round one, I would pick Lucas over Jeremiah. Yeah.
Claire, what about you?
I don't know that I would like actively make that switch, but I don't really have any other changes. So like, I guess, yeah, that would be my do-over. Like, I wouldn't change anything specifically, so I guess that would by default be, I wouldn't be mad if we changed it.
Claire said, no, I'm perfect.
I know. I didn't, no, I said I could be swayed on that particular decision.
And I kind of wish, I was kind of sad that we voted out all the gossip guys right away.
Yeah.
Only because like I don't, I think the Nate JJ matchup was hard for me.
Yeah.
I went with baby girl JJ instead.
Yeah.
But well, I feel like if Nate was against someone else, I would have moved him forward. Maybe just on looks, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Why not?
I mean, why we not? Love Nate. We talked about it. All right. Moving on to round two. A lot of very close matchups here. The ones where we agreed. Nathan Scott won out over Ryan Atwood. Pacey Witter over Dan Humphrey. Conrad Fisher over Chuck Bass. And Damon Salvatore over Paxton Hall Yoshida.
I mean, yeah. We voted the same way. So I agree with all of those.
I think in this round too, like even where we disagreed in the first round, a lot of these evened out because we ended up choosing the same out of the next round of matchups, if that makes sense.
I was happy that the listeners picked Pacey Witter over Dan Humphrey. Like, I was a little worried that Pacey was going to get voted out earlier on because I'm like, are these younger people? Do they know Pacey? Are they familiar?
Exactly.
But, like, Pacey went out by Dan by a lot, so I was pleasantly surprised.
That's great, yeah.
And I was also happy that we got Chuck Bass out on round two and that Connie Baby came through on that one.
Yeah, yeah. Don't ever underestimate the power of Connie Baby.
Yeah. He was fierce in this competition, as we'll get into later. And now here are the second round matchups where we and the listeners disagreed. Mm-hmm. This is where we might have to fight a little bit, you guys. So the listeners picked Jess Mariano over Stefan Salvatore, Lucas Scott over John B., Seth Cohen over Logan Huntsberger, and Nate Archibald over Stiles Stilinski.
I mean, we had Stefan in the final four.
We did. And I was like, did we kick Jess out a little too early? Like, because we love Jess.
We love Jess.
Like, I feel, that's like a little bit of my regret. Like, I kind of loved how far Jess made it in the listener bracket. Mm-hmm.
Again, I think we were playing by the rules that we created for ourselves. We were really sticking to that who's a good boyfriend game.
Yeah, we were really sticking to the rules.
Maybe
there.
That was me pushing that agenda. I'm a rule follower most of the time.
Claire is a rule follower.
I was like, no cheating. We have to go with what we
said.
But
to be fair, you kind of let Stefan get kind of far. Because at one point I just said like hero hair and you were like, all right, fine.
I know. Sometimes you were like, I think this, like even with Damon, I'm like, he's not great. He's a murderer. And you're like, but he loves her so much.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
That's what matters.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, stop taking it so literally. Also, one more kind of a little bit of a regret. Like, I do love Seth Cohen. Like, I feel like I wish we would have maybe like had him go a little further.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think it's not how you start, it's how you finish.
That's true.
And so maybe we didn't take that into account enough across the board with our picks, you know?
Like, I just feel like Seth Cohen, like, is so iconic. And he was a good guy and a good boyfriend. And I feel like I was really focusing on, like, later seasons. And it's like, who cares about the later seasons of the OC, honestly?
Yeah.
We all only watch season one. We only care about season one. So that was a little bit of my regret.
Yeah, I know. It is hard that we got rid of Seth Cohen. We wouldn't do it again.
But I was a little mad at the listeners for throwing out Stiles Stilinski so early on. Like, I expected better for him.
I mean, you know how I feel about Stiles. He's like one of my top picks. And I fought for him for a long time. You've kind of let me have Stiles, I feel like, a little bit. Like, if...
Well, I also love Dylan O'Brien.
Yeah. Well,
like that factored in for me. And again, I like that he gives that Seth Cohen-y vibe.
Yes.
And so I do like him, but
and
yeah.
And I think in my head I was like, well, if we have Stiles, we don't have to keep Seth because like they're very similar, even though Seth came first and sort of created that type of character.
Yeah.
And I thought that the listeners were, they also love Dylan O'Brien. And I thought that they were going to come through on that alone, even if they didn't watch Teen Wolf. But
I know.
I mean, I was mistaken. I underestimated the power of Gossip Girl.
I know.
Shame on me.
I know. I could not believe how far Nate Archibald made it in this competition. Like, if you would have told me that ahead of time, like, I wouldn't have believed you.
I know.
Honestly. Again, nothing like... nothing really against Nate, but even in Gossip Girl, he's kind of like a lesser character in it. Like, there are seasons where he doesn't do much.
He does not have a successful relationship in the entire 6-year run of the series. He's just dating like random girl to random girl to older lady to underage girl. Like, it's crazy.
I know. I'm like, who was voting in this? Like, where Nate is making it so far.
So Nate's just a boy, not even a boyfriend.
Yeah.
He's just a gossip boy, gossip guy.
I will say Nate barely won, though. Like, I know. He was the closest matchup in round one and round two.
Some of these matchups that were so close by, like, 2 votes is, like, nuts. So crazy. I was sitting there being so nervous because I'm like, what happens if there's a tie? Like, I don't even know what we do. I didn't anticipate that.
I mean, thankfully the listeners came through and they didn't let that happen. But I mean, I don't know what we would have done. Emergency pod or something like that.
Yeah. I know. I would have been like, Claire, get on the mic. Hurry.
Like, oh my God.
We got to figure this out. And Claire would have been like, well, who's the better boy?
I know. I'd be like, you have to think about this logically.
I know. And I would have been like, but his hair.
He gives such great speeches.
Yeah. That's my number one thing.
So Lucas Scott beat John B by 2. If they had tied, you would have gone with John B?
I guess. I don't know. Because that's hard for me to. But again, we let Lucas out round one, so I think we would have had to go John B.
Yeah, on the day that we were making those choices, we would have gone John B. Today, I don't know.
So what would you have done if this would have tied last week? 51-51. One person votes different. You guys are moving on Lucas Scott?
I think we might have.
I think we would have come to our senses.
Yeah.
And then,
clearly the fan base is passionate.
We need to move Lucas forward. Yeah.
And if Nate and Styles had tied, which was also 2, you would have moved Styles on.
I don't know. We might have moved Nate.
We would have moved Styles. He was in our final 4.
I know, but I feel like if we're talking retrospect, like, what would we?
The listeners have swayed us.
We just want to be liked, okay?
The listeners made us come to our senses that sometimes you can base it on looks.
Yeah. We're assuming that's what they did, but I don't think we're wrong in that assumption. But
I think at least with Lucas versus John B, maybe we would have moved Lucas forward in the sense that his show is done. He's been on 6 seasons.
Yeah.
It ended well. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, maybe we would have gone with him. Yeah. Like, we don't know what John B could do next season. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't know.
All right. So in round 3, this is where things get a little tricky. We all agreed, listeners and hosts, to choose Nathan Scott over Pacey Witter. That's a heartbreaker, I think, all the way around.
I know. That was sad. And I think the listeners, there were some listeners that were in the comments that were quite upset about Pacey being eliminated so early on. They wanted him to win.
I mean, I think if the bracket were arranged differently, it might have been the 2 of them in the end.
I know. I don't know if we would have come to an agreement if that's what it was. I think that would have been bad, maybe.
Yeah. So I guess maybe it's better that we had to make that decision earlier on.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, that one was a tough matchup.
That was just sad. I feel like everyone was sad to see Pacey go, for sure.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Although numbers wise, Nathan got twice as many votes as Pacey.
Yeah.
Just from a data perspective. So
I feel like people were like, oh, we were fine voting for Pacey before and now not so much.
Yeah.
We're done.
And the other place where we agreed was we chose Damon Salvatore over Lucas Scott. So, you know, in the end, I guess Lucas wasn't gonna make it that far. It all rectified itself.
It did. It did. So I didn't have too many regrets.
Exactly.
Then. If Lucas made it to the final too, I would have been like, okay, we might have made an error.
We've lost the plot here.
But yeah, Damon was going strong there. Mm-hmm. Good for him.
Yeah.
I was happy to see the fans were voting for Damon because he made it far in ours. So
he made it quite far in ours.
Quite far. And then there were 2 matchups where the voters surprised us in the listener bracket. So Jess Mariano and Seth Cohen both moved on to the final 4. So Jess Mariano beat Conrad Fisher in the listener bracket and Seth Cohen beat Nate Archibald, which finally I was like, get Nate out of here. We're done with him. Again, I like Nate. But
we like Nate, but like,
I just could not believe how far he made it in this. Yeah.
But what's interesting is that they both beat those, like they beat Conrad and Nate and like, we didn't even have, Nate in it anymore. You know what I mean?
We
like,
had Nate out round 1.
Exactly. And so we had Styles winning over Logan Huntsberger in that mashup. It was completely different.
Yeah.
We did have Conrad Fisher, but we also chose Conrad to lose that round, unfortunately. But in our bracket, he lost to Stefan.
Yeah. Conrad had a good showing, though, in this. He was the one who made it the furthest out of the new shows.
Yes.
So everyone's, you know, going crazy over Connie Baby. So I was happy, though, that he made it far. Because I feel like he is, like, this really beloved character. Mm-hmm. And is someone who is going to, like, go down in the history of these shows.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And in my heart. So I was happy that he made it far.
I think if we were making this bracket after that series had wrapped up, his placement would be very different.
Yeah.
I'm just guessing.
Oh, yeah.
But wow. I mean, based You'll off see. Of my knowledge of season of the third book and how I imagine season three will go, and also just like the way that fandom grows, like I would think that, you know, a year from now or 2 years from now, Connie Baby might be final four. Who knows?
Oh, yeah. I feel like he definitely could be final four, like, next year, maybe. Yeah.
Well, maybe we'll have to revisit this bracket a couple years down the line.
Oh, yeah. I'm already excited about next year, Claire. What are you talking about? A couple years? We're doing this again every year.
Oh, my God. Just to see if our feelings change. We're going to mix up the bracket order and see how things shake out.
Yeah. We'll add in more guys from Gossip Girl, I guess. I don't know.
Who else is there? Scott?
We'll add in guest stars.
Oh, my God.
We'll put Rufus in it. We'll do the dads.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Actually, dads.
Bad dads would be a fun bracket, but that's another day.
I mean, again, Jess going strong. Like, I think I was just kind of surprised by that because, look, I'm a Jess lover. I love Jess. But, like, he's really not in Gilmore Girls that much.
He's in two seasons.
Like, when I was rewatching it, I was like, that's it?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, even when he is with Rory, like, they're not, like... It's not like how it is with, like, you know, Stefan and Elena.
No.
Or something like that. So I was kind of surprised by Jess showing. But, I mean, the Gilmore Girls fandom is quite big. Mm-hmm. And I do think Gilmore Girls is a show that a lot of people have seen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, everyone's watching it. Mm-hmm. Every fall, we're all turning it on again.
Yep.
But I was happy with these picks. I thought the listener bracket was fun.
Yeah.
It was strong. Strong men and strong boys.
Big strong boys.
Yeah.
Big strong men.
Yeah.
Okay. On to our final four. Nathan Scott in the listener bracket easily defeated Jess Mariano, though, ultimately. We also had him defeating Stefan Salvatore. So we both picked Nathan, listeners and hosts, over their respective competitors.
Good job, listeners. Good work there. We were happy about that.
Yeah.
In the listener bracket, which I was shocked by this, you guys picked Seth Cohen over Damon Salvatore. And this was a nail biter. This was Seth winning by only 5 points, which is like crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, that is like so little with like, you know, a couple hundred people voting.
Yeah.
So that was like, I was like refreshing my computer like every second, just being like, who is going to win this thing?
She was on the edge of her seat.
I was.
I know. I was kind of shocked because, again, we let go of Seth probably too soon.
Yeah.
But the fact that he made it to the final round, I was like, wow, people really love Seth Cohen.
I don't know
why I was surprised by that.
I thought maybe some of the younger people like wouldn't have voted for him. I didn't know if like they've been watching like the OC still. And as you said earlier, like these WB shows are just so strong.
Yeah.
I mean, I know the OC is obviously like still popular, but I feel like it's like not really as like rewatched as some of these others.
Yeah, I wonder if it's like partly because it was only 4 seasons. And so like with these other WB shows, there's like 6 or 7 or 8. And so people are like, they really like a long binge, or they came into it in the later seasons and then went back and rewatched. And like the OC was only 4 years. It was on and off comparatively quickly.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just theorizing here.
I mean, I think we just underestimated the power of Seth Cohen. I think we just forgot about like how much of a heartthrob he was. Yeah. I mean, we love Seth Cohen,
we
by the way.
We adore Seth Cohen.
Listen to our OC episodes. We can't stop talking about him.
We love him. We love Adam Brody. Portrayal of him. It's so good.
I mean, just so iconic and so original and really something that like we hadn't seen on TV before.
No.
This, you know, nerd getting the girl. I feel like we underestimated like the power of that.
We did. Yeah.
We did. So we're underestimated, sorry, Seth.
Yeah. Underestimated humor, I think, too.
Yeah. Definitely.
He was funny. He was quippy, and we hadn't really seen a romantic lead like that before.
And honestly, like, we need more of that. Like, mm-hmm. it is just like, I do feel like he, and I know, like, Styles is very similar to him, definitely, yeah. but, like, in these new shows now, like, no one is doing that.
No, there's, like, jokes, but it's not, like, a funny character. It's, yeah. It's just differently structured.
I feel like, too, what is nice about Seth is, like, he was obsessed with Summer, and just in a way of, like, I know, like, maybe it was a little much or, like, whatever, but, like, it was nice to see this guy, like, in love with and obsessed with this girl. Like, at that time, we really hadn't seen that much. It was yeah. always like girls fawning over the guy
yeah.
and the popular guy at school and mm-hmm. whatnot. So he really was, you know, ahead of his time and changed the world, if you will.
Wow. The power of Seth Cohen.
The power of Seth Cohen. But I should say, we chose Damon.
We did. After all that talking yeah. about Seth Cohen, we chose Damon for our final two.
We chose Damon over Styles, the Seth Cohen 2.0, which is kind of funny.
That one was a tough one for me personally.
Yes, that was.
I am a Styles stan, but I think, you know, as we talked about, Damon was more of like an epic love, for lack of a better term.
Don't roll your eyes at it, Claire. She's mad about it still. No.
I'm a little bitter, but that's okay. No, I mean, look, Damon, I get why we chose him. I stand in that because he was like a fully adult, mature person willing to sacrifice for his relationship, for yeah. the person that he loved. And as much as I love Styles and his Seth Cohen-like quips,
yeah.
he was, you know, still a little bit young, and we didn't see him as much sacrificing for relationships, at least.
I think it's just hard in a show like Teen Wolf, where the relationships weren't really like the super forefront of that show.
Yeah, right.
Which, sorry, I need it at the forefront.
Listen, we all.
I like Teen Wolf, but, you know.
Don't apologize.
I know. I feel like we did align a lot with the listeners mm-hmm. on this.
Yep.
Which was a lot of fun. And where we maybe differed, I totally got like why they would have voted yeah. that way, I think.
Yeah. So should we get down to the final?
Let's get down to the final two, Claire.
Okay.
Take it away. So, drum roll.
If you'll recall, the listeners' final two were Nathan Scott versus Seth Cohen. Our final two was Nathan Scott versus Damon Salvatore. And both us and the listeners chose Nathan Scott as our top teen TV boyfriend.
Woo! I love that we aligned.
I know.
I mean, epic.
I kind of was like surprised by it, but then yeah. I was like, oh no, this actually makes sense. Like, of course we all chose Nathan. And he won by a landslide too.
I know. And I feel like we also like easily picked Nathan yeah. in the end.
Yeah. By the end of it, we were like, oh, it's gotta be Nathan.
Yeah. Like we can't pick Damon over Nathan.
No, it kind of seemed like a foregone conclusion by the time we got there. I was like, oh right, I could have predicted this if I had stopped and thought about it for a minute.
I mean, Nathan in the listener bracket won every one of his matchups by like a lot of points. Like, that kind of surprised me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can't underestimate the power of Nathan Scott. I mean, I just feel like he does deserve that title of ultimate teen TV boyfriend, I think.
He has so many great moments throughout the course of the series, 9 seasons. And I think what would be fun is if we talked about some of our favorites and why we chose him as our teen TV champion.
Yes, let's break down some of our favorite Nathan Scott moments. A romantic speech or two will definitely be in here. My favorite. I'm already blushing just thinking about these moments. It's so good. So we're going to each give our three favorite greatest Nathan moments. And there's a lot to choose from.
It was hard to narrow it down, but somehow we managed.
I know. It was actually very difficult. Yeah. So if you want to see all 50 of mine, I'm just kidding. One day I probably will post it.
Just make a YouTube compilation.
Yeah,
you know,
that's really
it's
what
coming.
I should do. Yeah. All right, Claire, do you want to start us off?
Sure. I will kick us off. So one of my favorite moments is an early one in season 1. It's where Nathan passes out at the basketball game after taking steroids. It's scary. And then later on that night, he shows up at Haley's bedroom door and is like, can I please come in? And she lets him in, and he's like, if I just told myself that if I could get up and I could make it to you, like, it would be okay. And then she like closes the door, and that's how the episode ends. And we're like, oh my God, did they have sex? Like, it was very scandalous when I was 13.
I know.
But yeah, I just like, that sticks out to me because it's like, oh, he like, he's in this crisis mode. Like, he's spiraling mentally, physically, and like, she's the person that he wants to see. She's the person that's going to make him feel better. And she, you know, is there for him. She sort of begrudgingly lets him in, but then she like lets him stay and sort of, I assume, takes care of him and is supportive of him in that moment. So
it is one of my favorite moments. I feel like I used to like play this scene on loop in my head, like in class, like in middle school. Like, I would just like play this scene. Like, I've probably seen it like 1,000 times. Like, it is just such a good moment. And it really is like the first kind of like really big moment where Nathan is like, I need you, Haley.
Yeah.
And that is kind of then, you know, a big part of their relationship, like going forward. And I do feel like this is kind of where Nathan changes.
Yeah.
Like, he, before this moment, like, him and Haley are like kind of dating.
You kind of wonder if he's so still far. Using her. You're like, yeah, questioning that.
And I feel like after this happens, like, everything changes. They're together. You can tell, like, how much he feels for her, how much he cares about her, how much he needs her.
Yeah.
And it's such a turning point in their relationship. And they talk about that even in the show, like, years later. Like, it's referenced, I think, in season 5 as, like, the moment where he knew he was in love with her. Just got the chills just thinking about it. I love that moment. That's a good one.
Share one of yours.
Okay, so my first moment is also from season 1. Mm-hmm. I feel like maybe I'm just going in chronological order.
I am too.
I gotta talk about the first kiss. I mean, it is such a good moment. He is throwing rocks at the window, and Haley comes up behind him and says, are you trying to wake my parents? That's their room.
Verbatim, you just quoted that.
again, another scene that played on loop in my head when, yep, I was 14. But then he gives Haley this like really great speech of how he doesn't want to be that guy anymore. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, well, who do you want to be, Nathan? And then he says, I want to be somebody who's good enough to be seen with you. And then he kisses her. And it is just such a good moment. And unexpected, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, when you are watching the episode, like, you know, they got into an argument before. It seemed, mm-hmm, like he was embarrassed to be seen with her. And here we start the, you know, Nathan apology tour, which happens quite a bit in this series. But I didn't necessarily think it was gonna like end in that episode with them kissing.
No, he kind of surprises her with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's hot.
It's hot. And Dare You to Move is playing, and it's Dare perfectly you to move. Timed. It's so good.
I think it's like also one of the first really big like music moments in the show. Because this is like early on in season 1. This, yeah, is like episode like 8 maybe.
Yeah.
Or so.
They didn't really lean into the music part until like, I think like season 2. But yeah, that is one of the first big music moments.
Yeah, definitely such a good moment and just an iconic moment of theirs. I love it.
So I'm going to jump us ahead to season 4.
Love it.
And this is when Nathan finds out that Haley's pregnant. He calls a press conference to announce that he's going to Duke.
As one does, yeah, in high school.
Of course.
Yeah.
And, you know, he doesn't react in the best way at first. She's sort of stressed out and is like, you know, I wish you would tell me that it's all going to be okay and that you love me. And then he goes to the press conference. She stays home and is watching it on TV. And then live on the air as she's watching.
For everyone to hear and see.
He says, you know, my dad always said when I signed for Duke, it would be the best day of my life. And it is, but that's not why. And he says, I found out that my wife Haley is pregnant. And, you know, Haley, I love you. And it's all going to be okay. And he is, you know, letting her know that, like, he's excited and that he's going to support her. And she's at home crying. And it's just a beautiful and it's like a growth moment for him that he's like putting aside this dream that he's had forever to sort of choose what's best for his new family.
Ugh, it is such a good moment. That's a good one. I'm glad that you brought that one up because I feel like that really encapsulates who Nathan is. Like, he can sometimes like fall short, but then he always like catches up to that and like, and does this like great kind of like grand gesture moment that is just so good. And it's like that speech is like classic Nathan Scott. Like, yeah. And it's just like, and it's usually not many words either, yeah. But it's just like exactly what Haley needs to hear. Mm-hmm. And it's just so sweet. And I just really love that scene.
Yeah. I can't, even though I can't remember it verbatim, I can like picture it in my head. Yeah. I can see it. I can see her like dark eyeliner all the way around and that like braid and the bun and all. Like, it's very, the imagery is vivid in my head.
And I remember thinking, I'm so glad we wrapped this up in that episode because yes. I was so worried that we were going to like drag on like Nathan, you know, like spiraling about this baby for like episodes. Yeah. And then when they had this great big press conference moment, I was like, ah, this is great. This is just what I want out of One Tree Hill. This is why I love this show. It's so good. Oh my God. I love it. And Dan was right there, and it's like, screw you, Dan. Look what he's doing. Better than you.
Yeah. Yeah, the parallels of that are really important. Yeah,
the parallels in that episode are just, like, so good. And, again, they just show that Nathan is not his father. Mm-hmm. Okay, so my next moment that we're going to talk about is from season 2, episode 1. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite episodes of the entire series. So it is when Nathan is telling Haley that he believes that their marriage can work. So in this episode, we basically see how this whole marriage thing happened for Nathan and Haley.
Right.
We get flashbacks. We see how he proposed. We see how they like convinced her parents. And that's like a big part of the episode. And then at the end of the episode, we see Haley crying in the apartment. And Nathan comes in and she's crying over their CDs that they have no doubles. And she's like freaking Jeez. Out over like, how can we make this work? We don't even have any CDs that are the same. And then he gives her this like lovely speech of like, I believe that this can work. Because she's saying like, nobody thinks that this can work. Like, what are we thinking? And he's like, well, I believe that this can work. And he promises to always be there for her and that he'll always protect her, always and forever. And then it goes into a flashback of them like exchanging their vows and the always and forever thing like becomes a thing that, you know, I'll probably tattoo on my body one day. But
can I be there when you do?
Yes, yes. But I just love this scene because I think it really showed, too, that, like, Nathan was the one who really, like, believed in this. Yeah. Which, again, was kind of shocking that, like, the guy was the one who was, like, believing in this more and believing in them that they could, like, make this work. Like, this guy who was, like, a bad boy, like, a couple months ago.
Yeah.
So I just, like, I always love this moment. I just think it's kind of, like, super sweet that he's the one who's like sticking up for them, and it's kind of something that he does throughout a lot of like early season 2.
Yeah.
And I remember watching this scene live, and like this was like one of the first like full episodes that I watched of the show. And I feel like this scene like really like pulled me in. I just thought it was like so great, and I was like, who is this guy? Wow, what a moment. Nathan Scott got me from this scene.
Yeah. I think that like what's interesting about Nathan in general is that like the reason I think that he is so much like not much more invested in the relationship than Haley, but like he needs it more.
Yeah.
Like he has nothing else outside of her.
Yeah.
And so he is so determined to make this relationship work and to keep it protected and sacred, because he doesn't have that, and he's only seen like broken relationships, and she has a stable family, she has friends, like she doesn't need it as much as him, which isn't to say that he loves her more, but he just is like is more I don't know, like he just is more at a disadvantage in that way.
Yeah.
He doesn't have as much to fall back on, which makes him more determined to fight for it.
And I think that that's partly like why we love him so much. Is like determination he had to always fight for it and how he always fought for it.
Yeah.
And again, goes back to something else we've said on this podcast, like why he would never cheat.
Right.
Like that's why he wouldn't. Like it's so obvious. You gave him all this character growth and development. We would never believe he would cheat.
No, absolutely not.
And I just think that that was such an interesting thing that they did with his character of like it never felt like Haley was just a girlfriend to him. Like Haley was somebody who helped him kind of like get away from his parents and like his dad and these people who like weren't being very good to him. Like Haley was the one who was there for him and helped him through that. So I feel like it always felt that they had something more. Like this wasn't just like a high school relationship.
Yeah.
And I think that that's kind of like why they stick out as a couple of like, even if they had broken them up in this show, especially in the high school years, like I wouldn't have really believed it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I could have watched Nathan just date like Bevan or like somebody else. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
no, I do. Because you just don't believe that he would ever be as invested in anyone else besides
exactly.
Haley.
Or even if they like, you know, had like Brooke and Nathan date like in like early season 3. I don't know, whatever.
Yeah.
Like if they had him and Haley break up after the tour, like I just never would have believed it. And I never would have thought that their love was like bigger because they just built their relationship up in a certain way where I honestly don't think you could have had them break up. We just wouldn't have believed them with other people.
Absolutely not. It wouldn't have worked.
No. I mean, even when they had Chris Keller come in, like I never actually was thinking that like
Chris Keller was a threat.
No.
I know.
He wasn't.
No, he wasn't.
That's why they had to turn him into like a joke because he wasn't a threat at all.
Exactly.
We were always like we were like, yeah, Nathan could, you know, pick this man apart like a twig.
I know.
Another reason why we love him.
We do.
Okay, so my next Nathan moment is an underrated moment, I feel like. But it's a moment that really stuck for me like throughout the series.
Uh-huh.
So it's in season 3, and it's episode 3. I know all the episode numbers just by heart. But it's when Haley is having a really hard time at school. Like, people are kind of, like, other girls are, like, bullying her a little bit since she came back from being on tour. And she's kind of, like, you know, getting in fights with girls. And Nathan is pretty much ignoring her at this point. So overall, like throughout the episode, she's just having a hard time. But then at the end of the episode, you know, we see Haley in the hallway just kind of like standing there as like girls are kind of laughing at her. And then Nathan comes up and is like, come on, let's walk to class. And like puts like his hand like on her back and they like walk to class together. And like it is just such a small moment, but like it is why we love this character too.
Yeah.
I think it's because like he always gave us like that hope. Like I feel like throughout early season 3 especially, like him and Haley are not on the greatest terms.
Oh no, they're on
like,
terrible terms.
He's really mad at her still. Is barely speaking to her, but like
they're basically broken up.
Yeah,
they're like separated.
Yeah, but like he gave us hope in these moments, and it's like that's what we needed.
Yeah.
That's what 14-year-old me needed in that moment. And I think that that's why I love that moment. Because I was, like, so worried kind of about what was going to happen. And then this happens. And I was like, oh, Nathan's not going to let me down. Like, these two are solid. We're going to be good. And I feel like he, you know, always gave Haley that hope even when he was still really struggling with it.
Yeah, I think if nothing else, even if it wasn't like meant to give her hope, it's just him being like a gentleman.
Yes.
Which is not something that he was at the beginning of season 1,
yeah.
But he grows and he's like, even though he's not on the best of terms with her, they're not speaking, they're not living together at that point in time, he doesn't want to see her in pain.
Yeah.
Even when he's angry with her. And so I think, yeah, it's a really beautiful moment that he sort of is like not going to let her, you know, be punished by all these other women.
Exactly. And like, he still has her back, literally.
Yes.
I feel like that, I feel like that Taylor Swift quote, "In the world of boys, he's a gentleman," is so perfect for Nathan Scott. Like, don't you think that just like fits perfectly for him?
I do. Maybe she was watching when she, you know, wrote it. We know that she liked the show.
She's a fan. Yeah. I mean, she might have thought about him. We gotta get Taylor on the phone and ask.
Were you thinking of your teenage fandom of One Tree Hill when you wrote that song?
Yeah, because I would have. I still am. But I do think that that is like just such a good point of Nathan Scott in general. Like, he really did become such like a gentleman, like in this show, when like all these other boys are still kind of like messing with girls and like just kind of being like little idiots. Like, Nathan wasn't. And like, just kind of this like, I don't know what the quality is, like a gentleman quality, I guess, a stoicism, like just like a like an air about him that just kind of like felt a little different.
Yeah. Yeah.
Compared to other like boys on these shows.
Yeah. He just has a maturity about him.
Yeah. Maturity. That's the word I was looking for. I feel like that's kind of something that like James Lafferty really brought to the character that like maybe wasn't really written in there at first, like especially when he was like a bad boy. But I feel like he turned him so much into this kind of like mature guy. And I feel like that was something that maybe was just kind of like ingrained in him or something, because I feel like they didn't really like intend for the character to be that way.
Well, I am gonna sort of close us out on a more fun, lighthearted note, and pick a moment from season six, the end of season six, when Nathan and Haley are at Lucas and Peyton's wedding. And all throughout the beginning of the episode, there's this talk of like, who's going to have slutty wedding sex? Who's going to do it? Who at the wedding is going to do it? And we think for a while it's going to be, I think, Chase and Mia. And then that goes awry. And in the end, it's Nathan and Haley. They are married and they do it in a bathroom at the wedding. And
it's a hot scene.
It's great. And I love that for them. These two parents, years on in their marriage, and they are watching, you know, his brother, her best friend, marry his ex-girlfriend, her friend, and they're just, you know, getting it on in a bathroom stall. God bless them.
You gotta love it. Yeah. You gotta love it. I do love that scene. I think it's very cute. And like, we didn't really get a lot of scenes with them like that.
No.
Like, hot scenes in the later seasons. And like, they're still young and hot.
Right.
And like, into each other.
They're supposed to be like 24 maybe at that point in time. Like, it's so like, of course they're still gonna be like doing it in a bathroom stall. Like, it's it's a fun one.
I love it. No, I was glad that they gave that one to them. That was good.
Are there anything that we want to like touch on that we missed? I feel like there's a, you know the big ones.
Well, I feel like we do just have to bring up like the rain moments. Sure. Like, that was definitely like such a big thing of like Nathan. And I feel like it starts off because in the season one finale, he goes to apologize to Haley and he's in the pouring rain. So I do just kind of feel like him in that moment, again, showing growth, like apologizing instead of just like breaking up or not working through it. Was such a big moment, and then of course led to like 900 rain scenes between them. My favorite rain scene though actually was in season three, the blackout episode.
I was gonna say that one's a popular one.
I love that one.
The rain scenes are important. I think, you know, we've talked about the first kiss. There's that first exchange where he gives her the bracelet.
Don't say I never gave you anything.
Exactly.
Again, like, just such a good line. Like, they just gave this guy so many good lines.
It's in our
moments.
Intro.
Like, I know.
Yeah, that one. I mean, what else? They get married, the second wedding.
Yeah.
Which is lovely. He makes it to the NBA, which is a big, that moment is huge.
I mean, just him like never giving up and, you know, really just like pushing it through after almost being paralyzed. I mean, what a journey.
I know.
Every time I bring up that Nathan was almost paralyzed, Tyler, producer Tyler over there, has like a heart attack. He just can't believe it. But I loved that journey for the character, too. I mean, and I'm just so happy he did actually make it to the NBA. Yeah. It's like, we needed that.
Well, and I think it really sums it up at that moment when he hugs her and he says, thank you for believing in me. And she says, thank you for being worth it.
Yes.
And like, it's like, yes, he is worth it. Like, through all the struggles and through all the ups and downs and like all the setbacks, like, she doesn't give up on him because she knows that he is worth it as like, you know, a player and as a partner and, you know, all of these things.
And I feel like even when he like fell short at times, like, he still always like worked to like prove that he was worth it. And I think that that's like part of like his charm and like why we love him so much is he always like worked for it and like showed who he was as a person and wanted to be that good person. And just made it all worth it, you know, made the crush that I had on him really worth it, especially when he won both of these brackets. Like, I mean, there's only one number 23 that I know. And it's Nathan Scott. Yeah. Should we move on to our As If rants?
Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to say about Nathan Scott, Claire? Are you happy? Are you happy with the winner?
Yes. we love you, Nathan. When he says hi hails after being kidnapped... Swoon.
Oh my god, I love that scene. Okay, I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah. That was a good moment.
We missed him in season 9, but when he comes back and sees Haley for the first time after all those months away, worth it. Worth it for that scene alone. That emotion. Ugh.
He was always thinking about her too.
Fortitude, baby.
She got him through so much.
Yeah.
We love it. There's only one Nathan Scott. And it is our teen TV bracket champion.
I was wondering how you were going to work that in.
I did it. I did it. All right. Well, now it's time for our As If rants. So this is a part of the show where we can rant about something for 15 seconds, whatever we want, something from the episode. And the floor is ours.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Am I up first?
Jillian, you're going to kick us off.
All right.
All right. You've got 15 seconds, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Only 15. Very quick. Yeah.
All right. 15 seconds on the clock and go.
Logan Echols being voted out in round one as if. You guys need to watch Veronica Mars because this man is perfect. He's a bad boy with a hero complex. So many layers. Epic romance. Get on board, people.
And done. Good work.
Okay.
Thank you.
I don't know if I can beat that. Not that it's competition.
All right, Claire, are you ready for your As If rant?
You got this,
Not
Claire.
Everything's a bracket, guys.
We're still in competition mode.
I'm just trying my best.
Okay. All right, Claire, 15 seconds I'm on ready. The clock for your As If rant. And go.
Nate Archibald beating Stiles Stilinski. As if. Nate bounces around from girl to girl. He's with Blair. Then he cheats on her with Serena. Then he's with Vanessa. Then he's with Jenny. Then he's dating random guest stars. Are you kidding me? Stiles is in love with Lydia the entire time and is a good boyfriend to Malia for the most part.
That's it.
Wow, that was great. That was, I could never speak that fast even if I wanted to. That was a marathon. That was great.
Thank you.
I loved it.
Thanks.
That was amazing. Wow.
What a rush. I'm sweating now.
Good rants. Good rants. Sorry, you guys made us rant, you know, some of these votes. But overall, we were happy.
Yeah, we all reached the same conclusion.
We did, which was fun. I'm so happy that we had the same conclusion.
I know.
That was sweet. And then it is like, wow, this really is the guy then.
Yeah, it's definitive.
There's really just one choice here. Yeah. One main winner. Well, thank you guys so much for voting in our listeners bracket. That was a lot of fun. And thank you to everybody who really got into it. We'll have to do this again sometime.
Yeah, I'm excited.
I know. It was great. And thank you, everyone, for listening. Be sure to listen to our other two episodes where we fill out our own bracket. Mm-hmm. So be sure to check those out if you haven't already.
Yeah, you can find those wherever you get your podcasts. And while you're there, don't forget to like and subscribe, rate and review us, give us 5 stars.
If you want to take a look at how our host bracket turned out and how the listener bracket turned out, be sure to check out our posts on Instagram. We're going to post out all of the all the matchups and how it all turned out.
You can also follow us on social media on Instagram and TikTok at previously on _teen TV.
Thanks for listening.